Leaving the photographers, let's commence the press conference of the film of the official section. It's called Automata. And we have with us for this the director, Gaby Ibáñez, and we also have the leading actor and producer, Antonio Banderas. And they are eagerly awaiting for you to raise your hands so that we can give you a microphone. In the center there, please. Hi, good morning. I would like to ask a question to both of you. Antonio, I would like to know, how did the project and the script come into your hands? And Gaby, I would like to know, as regards to special effects and so on, how much is there, how much is digital and how much is traditional effects? Yes, the project arrived in my hands just when I was working with Pedro Almodóvar in La Piel que Habito. I brought it when I was, Elena Naya brought it to me when I was in the makeup. Elena put it on the table in front of me and said, this is a very interesting guy. And I would like you, excuse me, to read the script. I think it's very interesting. And there's a possibility of making a film here. If you don't do it, it'll probably get locked in a drawer and no one will ever, because it's a sci-fi film. And that's how the script came into my hands of this film, Automata. Look at the question. Well, let's say we have shot the film in Bulgaria. Half of the film takes place in the desert, and Bulgaria doesn't have a square meter of desert. The special effects have been in trying to recreate the landscapes and the exteriors, that would say, you know, the desert part of the city. But we try to make a realistic type, a visually realistic sci-fi film, and the main element that could have been used with special effects, which are the robots, we did this traditionally. We shot the film in a very strange way with real robots who are on set. As you've been able to see, these are real size robots that interact with the characters. It's a strange way of doing it. It's a classic way of shooting a film as it's done in the past. And it brings about certain limitations when you shoot, but it has advantages when you work with the actors on set. And to take the film towards a cinematographic language, which was interesting for us, which was more of sobriety. So therefore, it was quite evident we've worked with a traditional technique, which I think the results we've achieved are quite original. Hi, good morning, Antonio. I would like to ask you, well, we saw you in this film with a change in look, change in register. The question is whether you needed a change in the movies that you've made. And also, how far did you work as a producer? No, not necessarily did I need a change from a cinematographic, from a cinema standpoint in my career. No, not at all, albeit quite obviously there is a justification for this. I do it. This was asked for me by, we talked about the character quite a lot with the director, and we decided to give him that image. And quite obviously, at present, when I see the film, and with his beard, for example, it's quite a shock, when you, even for me, when I see that character on screen and what I look like. The idea was not to make a change in my career. The idea was to adapt myself to a character with certain specific characteristics. And as a producer, it's a story which is quite a long story. This film, which is something which has surprised me a lot since it was announced in the festival, is that it seemed it was as if it were a super production, and such was not the case. Not at all. This is a film that is marred with a lot of blood, sweat, and tears more than anything else. You know, we've had to overcome a lot of hurdles, and the Spanish distributor that is going to distribute the film in our country went against the current. It's a four-year trip or journey, which has been enormous in this project. And even when we think about it now, it was almost fun. We could make a film just simply of that journey. I know personally Gabe personally. I met him in Tunisia. I was shooting a film at that time with Jean Jacquinot, who was going to shot in a couple of months, and it took a couple of weeks to do because the Arab Spring erupted. And Gabe called me from Spain. I had invited him to come to Tunisia so we could meet each other and perhaps link it to Tarak Ben Ahmad, who the possibility of having produced the film at that time. So therefore I said, well, listen, I've been reading in the newspaper, there's a lot of problems there. I said, I'm in the Tauseg desert, in the border with Libya. I said, come over here, nothing. His hotel was almost burnt, stones were thrown at his car. When he came to Hammamet, where we had moved, and that's where we had met, he was on the verge of a nervous breakdown, and he says, so where have you brought me, where's this place you brought me? Well wait, there's a lot to come yet, because until we've made it this far, to be sitting here talking about this, it's been a very difficult road and journey. It's a film, economically, it's done with 5 million, and that is said, that's the truth about this film. So as a producer, has been declining my salary, for example, to put it into and get the buy the rights, develop all of the prior work, vis-a-vis production, take advantage of a lot of a personal relationship, a lot of favors, and get on your knees and beg for favors to be given, made for you. That's how was to make this film. Congratulations for the film. As regards you as a producer, I would like to know, when you work as an actor, to what extent does the producer get into your work? They say, when you start to shoot, do you park to one side you as a producer, and you're only Antonio Alvarez as an actor, or does there a permanent conflict there? No. There's no conflict when, once I'm under the orders of Gabby, the director, in the rehearsals as well as in the shooting of the film, the producer is left to one side. It's quite obviously, it's much more complicated, because I didn't turn up 1 or 2 weeks beforehand to Bulgaria for the rehearsals. I spent 2 months while we were making the prototypes of the first robot and all of the others, the tests with the prototypes of the robots. So therefore, I was quite stuck in the production, involved for producing. For me, and the truth is not so much an issue of financing, that obviously you have to find the money, but the idea is to give the person who has the script and the artistic responsibility, to provide all the tools that he needs to make the film he wants to do, no more, no less. And if he wants a telescopic crane, I've got to get a telescopic crane. I've got to do what I can. So therefore, that happened. That was finished as soon as I was on set. I'm under the orders of my director, and obviously, and above all, especially during the rehearsals, there were different opinions sometimes. There were collision of points of view. We evaluated the issue, and then we acted and did things as a consequence of this. And that's only from a purely artistic point of view. I think Antonio's being a bit modest, because the producer's work, apart from achieving the material elements to make a film and to make sure that the film comes out, which is managed, and the only reason we made this film is because Antonio wanted to do so. The work is much more in depth of the producer's career to make sure to make the films you want to make as a director. One of the possibilities that exists is to make a more commercial or conventional film, a film that apparently may be for a bigger audience. Another option is to be faithful to the type of film you want to make, which is a much more special film based upon an approach which are not so commercial, and to have a producer who's backing you and encouraging you to follow the path the journey that you wanted to do. That's a greater luxury than a big crane that you may need for shooting a film. In the previous films I've seen, especially in shorts, there's a short which is called Machina that interested me very much from Gavia, and I didn't want him to betray himself when directing this film. That was a bit harder. At certain moments, some partners wanted a more commercial type film. But what I want to do is to Gabby to make that type of cinema that I know he has inside him, with all the consequences. You may like it or not, but I want him to be faithful to his own principles as a director. And that's a price which is very interesting. That is to say, a very interesting prize, a gift to provide that for a director, given the possibility, a person who's starting up, and from the outset I believed, and I do believe now even more than in the past, that he can truly contribute something to that range of great Spanish directors. I think we've got a good director here. Says, no, no, you are a patron. No, no, I was doing a favor to myself. No, I felt like working with a man who had very specific ideas in mind. He was coherent with the way in which he expressed himself. When we started to get together and in the rehearsals, I thought that I was doing a favor to myself, not to him. John Hopewell.
This is a question for both Gabby and for Antonio. The character of Jacques Vauquin doesn't at the end attempt to destroy the robots which are of superior intelligence. Is that a question of disillusionment with the human race, or a fundamental sense of tolerance, or perhaps that he is just very, very tired, fatalism, or a mixture of all those things, or maybe I've got it entirely wrong?
Should I answer in English or in Spanish? Spanish?
Para mí da igual.
Okay. Yo creo que...
I think there's a moment within Jacques Vauquin's history or story that he ends up accepting two realities as a whole. The first of these is that there's nobody behind what's happening and taking place, which he's always had in his mind, that this is something that randomly has happened to them. Something went snap in the hard drive of these anthropomorphic home appliances that we call them in the film. And he accepts that idea, and then he accepts the idea that there is a civilization that dies that he belongs to, and a new civilization, which takes its place. And that happens basically in a scene when I'm with the first of these that we call the blue robot on a cliff edge, and there's a moment in a more philosophical conversation of the entire film. At that moment, for example, he has the need of going back to his family, but accepting that quite probably the end of a civilization that he's lived to has come to an end. Gabby, do you agree with Antonio? Yes. Jacques Vauquin, as the main actor, a main character, he has a range of disillusionment and a fear of bringing a life to a world that he doesn't understand. At the end of the story, where he understands the philosophy that his wife had, which is simply, you've got to continue to fight and struggle. The important thing is not only to live, the way to live, and the fact that we live is to continue to live your life as your way. And then it's like the monkey that stayed in the tree, for example, that doesn't evolve or has not evolved. There is a confrontation between the violence carried out by human beings, violence due to, and this brings about the decadence of human beings, and this robot that are the children of the Asimov literature, that don't you want violence, and at the end of the day, they're much more human than many humans, and Jacques Vauquin decides in favor of the robots. And very quickly, I think that despite the difficulties of the financing, sales worldwide have been good. You've sold Millennium. The film has been sold in many territories very well. Yes, I can't tell you the number of territories or where, but the international sales have been quite extensive, including the United States. We will have to see how the film is going to be premiered and how it goes. What's quite clear in our mind is that we've made a film. And that's why we also believe that it's coherent and it's a good idea to be in this festival, that we don't want to be, it's not a mainstream film, it's a film that has to find its own audience. It's an audience which is quite specific, and that we're trying to seek that audience. And also the alliance with Contracorriente has been, that's the idea. We know it's a distributor that takes very good care of these spoils, shall we say, almost these types of films, signature films. And perhaps we won't open up in so many film theaters like the big American productions, but we're going to try to find that audience that we know that exists, that likes sci-fi films of young people who probably are dreaming of trying to find more content matter in the films that they're shown from the United States with these big productions from a financial standpoint. where if you miss 5 minutes, you've lost, missed $5 million. Where, that's not our case. We're playing in another league or another type of game, okay? Thank you.
Bueno, buenos días, Antonio.
Hi, good morning, Antonio, Gabe. I have a question, and I would like both of you to answer, Gabe as the director and Antonio as the leading actor of the film. Antonio, you've just said that it's a film that has to find its audience. And in this sense, I would like to ask you about the future of sci-fi, the sci-fi genre, especially here in Spain, because it's one of the genres, or perhaps the genre which is more labeled, and people go into the film theater, for example, with a bit of prejudice before, in their minds. I'm not too sure whether you believe that over the next few years, this genre, as has happened to the terror genre like Wreck and so on, so are going to be standardized, or whether, on the contrary, do you believe that it's always going to have the label of being a sci-fi genre, if you get what I'm saying. Let me start. Why do the extraterrestrials always go to the United States? Why? Because Hollywood's got money to pay for those films. Because every time we've done a film, a sci-fi film here in Spain, when the extraterrestrials come along, it's always a comedy, isn't it? So that's the way it goes. But we've also tried, and also against the mainstream, to open the door. We don't need an enormous investment to be able to make a film of this nature. I'm sure that there can be a lot of people that may be encouraged to play with the sci-fi genre. The sci-fi that Gabe was talking about before, science fiction that has connotations and touches important details of the current life that we're living in at present. We've got proof of this in the film. The film visits certain places. It visits the loss of values. How men and humanity, mankind, are separated by walls or partitions. How one guy kills another guy as if he were a dog without any type of problem at all. So therefore, these are things that are happening at present, and we want to show them in the film. The idea is not to see that our robots jump from one roof to another, they'll be much more powerful than other robots. The truth is the values of the robots are being contributed to us by the robots. They're the good guys in our film. The human beings that appear in the film, practically all of them, demoralized, and they're sunken, and they've lost all those types of values. This is something that can be shown at a national level in our cinematography here. We don't need too many artifacts and so many fireworks in order to do so. On the one hand, I think that over the next few years there's going to be an increase in sci-fi films because there are a series of issues due to technological reasons that go not only cinematographically but also philosophically and from knowledge that is of artificial intelligence, which is going to be one of the paradigms that's going to determine the coming century. It's an issue that's going to be important for society at many different levels, economically, morally, sociologically, and it's going to be one of the issues in science. They dealt with science fiction. Artificial intelligence and robots are going to be a genre, not only a genre of a sci-fi genre. I don't think a lot of science fiction films are going to be made in Spain, especially for Spain, but the truth is science fiction is a minority, and this type of cinema is a minority. It's very difficult to make money in a one single territory like Spain of a film like this. What we can do is, as we don't make Spanish sci-fi film for the world, obviously the world includes Spain, but we're happy and glad to have made it in Spain, what we've been able to shoot in Spain. We've worked with the Spanish team, the technical and artistic team, the scriptwriters, the leading actor, all of the special effects, it's all Spanish. But it would be a dream to make a film just for Spain. These are films made for the world, and they've got to work globally, and that's how Automata is working at present. Hi, good morning. And a question for Antonio Banderas. Have you managed to achieve your character that will get you an Oscar as an objective or a goal? And if such isn't the case, obviously not. And if not, that's not the case, how would you sketch that character? I would like to say the film, seeing Transformer, which is a sort of choral, a choir, a symphonic orchestra sort of setup, and this film this is a four-string quartet in comparison. How are you going to try to distribute to all of that popcorn-type cinema of people that go to watch sci-fi films? And the third, you've answered it more or less, but I would like you to answer something about Spain. Why is it called Robert and not Pepe or Joseba? Because we destroy the environment just as much as the Americans do in the United States, so you forget what I'm saying. I have no specific idea of a specific character that I would like to play. The truth is, in reality, with this film, I've worked in all genres, if you think about it. I made horror films, with Interview with a Vampire, musicals, adventure films, action films, a lot of signature film with Almodóvar, movies for children. I've been on Broadway, I've directed, I've produced. I was just missing science fiction, but that's not the reason for which I got involved in this project or this film. I have no stereotype character that at a given moment I think might make me win an Oscar. Those are dreams, a bit of to think, miserly dreams, to make a film, to achieve a result. I still enjoy and have fun doing my work. I enjoy myself. That initial driving force that made me leave Malaga, where I was born 30-something years ago, is still alive, very alive, and that's what makes me feel and makes me, well, it's good. Whenever I start to shoot a film or start a film, I think it's going to be the best film that I've ever going to make. I always think that. And then the circumstances or your own talent, you may make a mistake. There are many reasons and many things behind each film, isn't it? But that's the way I understand my profession. I try to give everything I have in me when I get in front of a camera or when I get on stage. I do my utmost. I'm trying to find more work in Spain now. Not more work, I'm trying to find coming back home and make films from here. Hollywood stopped existing as such. It's just a brand name. And that brand name perhaps it'll be stuck on my back for the rest of my life. But I want to make more films from my own country. I recognize the talent of the people in my country, and if I can give them a hand, I will do it. I did it with Justin, and I did it with Automata, and I'm going to continue to produce films. You know, I believe a lot in the people in my country, and I think there's a lot of talent here in my country. And what was the second question? Oh, well, how are we going to compete? Let's leave it in the hands of the distributors who truly know the market, and they will know how to promote our film and so on. I'm not too sure whether you've seen. We're a bit, not precarious is the word not to use, but we've not used big billboards. You've not seen robots in big billboards throughout the San Sebastian. We don't even have, we're not even in the Cinemaldia, we're not even on the front page of the Cinemaldia Festival magazine. We're going slowly but surely. The director, first of all, a question. There's recognized tributes apart from Blade Runner, a Western, a Khodorkovsky, for example. I would like to know your references. Who are your references? And Mr. Banderas, when you talk about favors to produce the film, including Ms. Griffiths or Javier Bardem, have included them there. Are they the favors that you ask? As regards to the references I've used, I would say that our references generically is sci-fi films that were made in the 1960s and 70s. In contradiction to the science fiction films that are made now, science fiction film now is a family adventure film in the future. When the action occurs in the future, it seems it's science fiction. The special effects have diluted, shall we say, the classic genre elements of science fiction and fantastic films. There's a certain confusion when we talk about fantastic and science fiction films. People get mixed up. So we wanted to relate it ourselves to the 1960s and 70s science fiction film, where science fiction was an adult genre. It's a genre which was not necessarily for children. It was a genre it's a genre which paradoxically could be treated better than other genres. Philosophical elements or issues which are further in depth, because at the end of the day, the only issue of science fiction is human beings. You're not using it, they travel in time, or you use apes, or you use spaceships. So these are the types of the films that were made back then, like The Andromeda Effect or The Planet of the Apes and so on. These are adult films, and they play with elements from westerns, from the police detective films and so on, and they made types of films that with a rhythm and issues that were addressed, which were for an adult audience. The truth be said, there's a strong evidence with the science fiction that's being made nowadays, and that's the way we've taken it. And also issues like Blade Runner and so on and so forth are inevitable for a person in my generation that's going to make a science fiction film. It's not a tribute. It's in your bloodstream. It comes out almost naturally. These are titles of films that have determined the way we understand cinema, and they're always going to be there in everything that we do. Yes. There are a lot of favors in this film, yes, that I've asked for. And amongst them are obviously the collaboration and co-production with Millennium. I've got a personal friendship that links me to Wim Lerner here as an actor. I made a few films with him, but this is not the type of films that they produce. He made available studios that allowed us to shoot this film. You should have seen us in the studios. Apart from we stole everything that they had from other films, the cars, the lines, the wardrobe, everything. We were taking things from all over the place to make our film, and through our artistic director, who's also Spanish, by the way, and give meaning to all the wardrobe that we stole. Melanie's work and the work by Javier Bardem are personal favors that I asked them. Yes, that's true. And I'm very, very thankful to both of them. Yes, it's the only way to make a film like Automata with the money that we had, with the means that we had, and wanted to be respectful with the script that we'd written, to use the his agenda of favors that this gentleman has. Yes, a question related to the music. For example, I was surprised to listen to Trené, La Mer, and I was very pleasantly surprised. What's the meaning of using this song? Well, the character of Jacques Vaucombe has this poetic recurrent dream which appears several times in the film, which is the sea. A sea that at a given moment, they ask him whether he's seen it, and he doesn't remember. He has no clear idea whether it was a dream throughout his entire life or whether when he was a child, perhaps, he did visit the sea. So therefore, that came directly from the director. He perhaps could give you a deeper an explanation. Yes, there's also when he coming to the sea, which was, and we thought that it was an issue which was quite melancholic, and that alluded to human romanticism and melancholy. I think it was an appropriate song to envelope that emotional and bizarre situation that happens between Cleo and Jack Vaucombe, that encounter which is just about to go beyond that line, where beauty and the melancholy of the song were quite suitable, and the reference to the objective of the character to seeing the sea. And we thought we were quite fortunate to be able to get the rights for the song to use it. Hi, good morning, Antonio. I would like to talk about that moment when you dance with the robot, and she's got a soul and she's alive, and she's responsible of teaching to dance to a new civilization. How was that moment? How did you feel? All of the relationships with the robots from the technical point of view were difficult, but at the same time they were a lot of fun. Difficult why? Well, because behind each robot there were two people who handled it, and so therefore when you were playing a role with them, there were people around dressed in green who were manipulating them and moving them, and there were people with remote controls that moved the head and some parts of the body and so on and so forth. So it was very complicated. Why? Because the servo motors and engines made a lot of noise. They were quite complicated. They made these kinds of noise. And so therefore, to make a scene which was an intimate scene, it was not very easy, but quite specifically, that scene of the dance with Cleo was very beautiful. It was almost exciting to do. We shot it with a cover set, It was raining. We had to go inside. It was raining outside. We weren't going to. It wasn't programmed for that day, and we were practically rehearsing it. And we didn't really know to how far we could go, whether the scene could end up being turn out comical or how far we could go. But it's a crucial moment of the film. Where were the limits that immediately Jacques Vaucombe, within his physical situation, physically feels with a bottle of whiskey that he's just found in the surroundings, and he's a bit lost there, and he realizes all of a sudden that he's entering into a field which is quite complex and very difficult and impossible, amongst other things. And so therefore he moves back, and he's frightened of himself, I think, at that moment, with that idea in his mind. And that's how we did it, with that idea in mind. The fact that the robots were physical, and that's a good thing, because to a certain extent, they became members of the team. It sounds naive saying it, but they had a name. They were always with us every day. It meant so that we established, obviously, not the relationships that you set up with a person, but an empathy between the actors and the robots themselves, with the team of people that manipulated and handled them. So from that point of the shooting, right at the end of the shooting, there was a certain relationship between Jacques Vaucombe and Cleo and Antonio, and that piece of plastic. The puppeteers that manage the robots, handle the robots, two of them are going to be with us tonight on the red carpet. They are actors, Bulgarian actors, and they tried to, and I think they managed to achieve it in quite a lot of moments, to give a certain personality to the robot that they were playing. They moved them in a certain way, for example, and they set up a certain difference with the other robots. All of those characters, all of those puppeteers, always worked with the same robot. They never exchanged the robots of one puppeteer with another robot. And it was interesting, when you were working with them, the possibilities of movement that they had found certain of these puppeteers vis-a-vis the others, how they invented when they were rehearsing. So therefore it turned into something which was very interesting and very different for me. I'd never worked with in that manner, with inanimate objects that all of a sudden come alive. Hi, Antonio. I would like to ask you whether this film, you said you didn't do it because it was science fiction, but to a certain extent you were not trying to do your own Blade Runner. Is that true? Or whether Hollywood offers you certain films, it's a moment you're going to say, I'm going to look for the films, I'm going to produce them, I'm going to set them up, because if they don't come along, I've got to do it myself. No, there's a bit of that in it, but not specifically that I was seeking a specific genre. In Hollywood, it is true that I've had certain limitations due to my accent, due to my ethnic background, and I play certain characters. I've been working in Hollywood for 23 years in a situation, a handicapped situation. Why? Because I can't have all of the possibilities. How to run, it's like running a race when you're crippled. There are certain subjects that I can deal with and work in Spain. But no, I wasn't seeking for something in science fiction. The way that script arrived, it drew my attention more because of the coherence of the script and more because of the coherence that I found in this gentleman over here on my right. When we met over the phone, and tell the adventures that took place in Tunisia when we met. So therefore, I find that I can do things here now that I couldn't do there. And this strange journey that I have in my head of turning my profession into what it was at the beginning, and my hobby, if I could allow myself to do that, to go back to that in my life. Hi. Good morning. We've talked about that sequence, which was quite controversial, the sequence of the dance, when you get very drunk. It was quite controversial. I think it was the best sequence in the film, and despite the fact that there are people that say that you overact in the film, I think it's a sequence which is beautiful, because it reincorporates to the life in cinema that aspects like feelings and romanticism, something that has been lost, it seems. In the North American newspaper I read the other day, I'm not too sure whether it was taking something away from you, but you overact in that role, perhaps. It was in a sequence in which they don't appreciate, whether, and I do appreciate very much, they should have given it to Nicolas Cage. That's what they say. I don't say, what do you think about that? I'm not trying to be evil here, by the way. He's a guy that also overacts, don't you think? I'm not sure who should they've given this role to, but the circumstances that Gabby has probably wouldn't have been able to use Nicolas Cage. Perhaps after this film, he may be able to work with Nicolas Cage. I personally don't feel that I overacted in that sequence. Perhaps in some other sequence, but specifically in that sequence, no, not at all. Continuously in my life, I find people that I observe, and I say, well, if I played that person the way I'm seeing them, I'm sure they would say that I'm overacting. But there they are, doing the things that they do in life. They Pancho Villa, did he overact? Did he overact in his life being the way he was? When I played him, I had to do that. I couldn't play him within that world that we call that of interpreting economy. Economy in acting. If I have to play a character that goes overboard, I've got to go overboard. I've got to go that far. If I've got to do something which is much more restrained to work with Almodovar in the skin that I inhabit, for example, if it's much more flat, it's much more internal, it's something completely different, because that's what we understood that the character should have. I tried to provide the characters what I think that the characters need. Antonio, yesterday, the Minister for Culture said here that they're prepared to collaborate. I hope so. Let's hope so. With the experience that you have, with this point, this American point of view that you have upon things, could you advise something as regards to what they don't realize? Perhaps they won't realize that they may not do something to help you. Can you give them some advice? If I could do that, I would become a minister myself. But, no. Look, this film, we've made this film without any type of state aid or public aid. So I've got to be very sincere. I've got a series of relations that have created over 30-odd years in my career, and especially in the last 24 years in Hollywood, which enable and have enabled me in this case to be able to produce a film of this nature. But not everybody has those opportunities. Quite often, I ask this not only for me, but I ask this for a lot of young people in this country. They've got enormous talent and can't produce a film. And they've got a script under their arms and they wait for many, many, many years in many cases to make their film. So those people do need some encouragement. And they're not going to be encouraged unless it's given by a government that will open up their hands. We need many more things in that sense. The whole country needs it. But even more, they should drop the VAT, and people go to the movie to see a film, shouldn't pay a lot of money so that they can still live that ritual, albeit there are magnificent televisions with 5.1 and so on and so forth. That marvelous environment to walk into a cinema theater, which is it's dark, you're with people you don't know, and to all in communion to see a story on a screen. That is beautiful. And I think that should be driven and encouraged by the people in our government. And I think that's why I always ask, and I ask that they should open their hand and to allow us to breathe a little in our industry. I would like to ask, as a producer and director, as it's Spanish cinema and it's a Spanish film, you've opted actors like Robert Foster, who are American, and so why haven't you chosen Spanish actors in that case? As a producer, I would say that we needed to go out into the international market for the pre-sales, and in order to do this, we needed, unfortunately, to speak in English. If we wanted a film that could work in the international market and which will allow us to set up this production, we needed that. So therefore, that's why we asked for actors of this nature. Sometimes we thought that the protagonist could have been Spanish, and we did think of a few names, but everything fell along those lines. Otherwise, it turns out to be very difficult. When you go abroad and you tell people, well, okay, this is the package I've got, these are the people that are going to work to be able to finance a film, okay? Like, we couldn't get the question there, she wasn't. That's the reality that we're living in. If you want to make a sort of cinema which is not that conventional, that is, We can't have an opinion upon reality. That's what exists, and that's the only possibility we had. I understand that it's not an example to follow. We can't set up an industry based upon exceptions such as this film, Automata. It's not something that can set up the way. But to make these types of cinema, these films, you can't go into the world if the film... Well, you can if the film is in English with North American actors or English actors. And you go... It's very different if the film is shot in Spanish with Spanish actors. I think we would have loved to have done it in another way, but that's the way that we, that's the only way we can make this type of genre of film. Hi. And with respect and being humble, I wanted to talk about the accessibility of the people for blind and deaf people, because I'm a director of Altisen, and it's going to be premiere tomorrow in the gala of the Bar Cinema, Apaga la Luz y Verás. Switch the light off and you'll see. It's a 4 minute, and we've done it for blind people with subtitles and for deaf people. That's my first question I'd like to ask you. And secondly, whether you've got 30 seconds after this film to take a photo to support our struggle against pigmentary retinosis and a campaign which is in favor of the second part. You've got that. We will obviously do that and we will support that. I didn't know, sincerely, of the existence of a group that was dedicated to make this type of cinema. No, we don't have it, but that's what festivals are good for, to be here, and you allow us, inform us, and we will support your idea and back you. Yes, talking about what you said, that there are people that have a need to see cinema or hear cinema, so therefore the people could think about other people who are blind and deaf, or can get with... more or less, or certain different of deficiencies, can also have the possibility of seeing films. I'm not going to be ever see a film, Will, because my disease is going to be, end up making me blind. But nevertheless, when I'm accompanied with a friend where there's something audio described up on TV, it's different, because there are many things you can see visually, but there are others that you can't see. And all of a sudden you go, well, okay, he's given him a letter. Okay, I'm seeing. He's given him a letter, if you catch it. Okay, thank you very much. I understand what you're saying. Okay, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. See you later.